We're in the middle of a really exciting series. We're talking about identity. We brought it back from September to now. You can go on YouTube, click the playlist, get all the messages from Zacchaeus to Peter to Jacob to Rahab to Bartimaeus. We've been talking about all these different Bible characters who experienced transformation. And then in May, in June, we're going to start walking systematically, step by step, taking a deep dive into the book of Romans. And so I want to invite you to get ready to mark that portion of your Bible. And we're going to walk through it just chapter by chapter, learning what God has to teach us by doing some expository study line by line. I know you're going to be blessed in May and June. Now, the efforts that we're kind of honing in on and focusing as we seek to make a difference and an impact daily here at Trinity are these. In May, we're going to be able to have a Kingdom Builders highlighted project where throughout the month of May, as you give above and beyond your general fund, tithes and offering giving to Kingdom Builders compassionately, we are going to invest in a project in the Middle East in Bethlehem. The city Jesus was born in. There is a school there. You're going to see a video about it next Sunday. But there's a school there that is training, educating, and ministering to children that come from Jewish and Muslim homes. They're teaching them to know Jesus, to walk with Jesus. Some come in the morning from refugee camps. Some come in the morning from 20 different neighboring communities all around Bethlehem. And there's a huge waiting list for this school. It's boldly Christian. It's one of those few boldly Christian ministries in this part of the world, and parents are just clamoring to get their kids into the school, but they need more space. They're seeking to grow, and as people are asking you, or maybe you're asking yourself, I'm seeing every day, I'm seeing hostages, bombs, escalating conflict. I'm seeing unrest. What are we doing about it? How are we being active in the fight? Well, our fight is not against flesh and blood, but we're taking our fight to the powers of the kingdom of this age, and we're advancing the gospel. We're gonna do it through this Bethlehem school. I can't wait for you to see more about that. In May, we're gonna focus some Kingdom Builders giving towards that. And then in June and July, I'm gonna ask us to come together and take a big step of investment together in Heart for the House. This has been a campaign that we have advanced our facility and our ministry tools here at Trinity with in the sanctuary building, in the lobby. We're gonna be focusing on the some continued renovation in this building, but also the activity center. And we're gonna enhance some of our spaces over there in June and July. So as you're planning, like, man, how can I make a difference this year? God's stirring me, he's challenging me. I want to have clarity on the outlet that I'm gonna invest into. I wanted to let you know that those things are coming up. Well, some of you have found yourself coming into this message this morning, coming into this Sunday, maybe with some heaviness. I know it's been a heavy week of ministry here at Trinity. We were able to do two funeral services, Friday night and Saturday, and really love on grieving people and share the gospel and the truth of who Jesus is and who we are with many people that are walking far from God. And so it was just such a blessed time of ministry, but it's been heavy. And in your own life, you may be coming into this Sunday walking through some difficult circumstances. But we're talking about transformation and identity, where we understand we're born into brokenness, our sinful nature, and this world tattoos all kinds of things on our hearts, just like my little friend right here. He's got all kinds of identities branded onto him. In this series, we're asking God that he would allow us to be born again into our true identity, who he's really created us to be, to make us that Galatians 2:20, new creation, transformed by Jesus. And so I'm just going to invite you today, no matter what you walked in with, no matter what you're carrying, if you feel like transformation is not available for you, it's not powerful enough to break through all of your stuff, this message is for you. Specifically today, this message is going to be about pain. People walking with and living with pain. If you came in and you feel like you don't have baggage, you have luggage that you're walking through life with, I think this might speak to you. Like, if you have pirate chests full of anti-treasure that you're just dragging around place to place, through your life, and you sense you're carrying too much pain. There's a man in Scripture whose name was Pain. His name literally meant painful, and we're going to look at his story today in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9. His name is Jabez. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, "I gave birth to him in pain." Today, as you're taking notes, this message is titled, "Hello, My Name is Painful." Jabez's mother gave birth to him in pain, and we really don't have any more context as to what that means. We don't know if it was a troubled pregnancy where she was on bed rest for many months. We don't know if it was just a really long labor. We don't know if the family was destitute when Jabez was coming into the world. We don't know if her husband had run out on her. We really don't know much more about Jabez's context. All we know is that his mother did what we often do. His mother named him with what she was experiencing. She made the issue the identity. She made the season the whole story for Jabez, and the melody of his life one note. She reduced his identity with what she branded her son with what she was experiencing in a season and in a moment. And I know we often do this, just those things that I just mentioned. We can make our issues our whole identity. We can make the difficult season we're in our whole story. The whole melody of our life that God, the maestro, is seeking to conduct, we can reduce it to one note, that one piece, that one issue that we're struggling with. And that note's flat. I want you to know that. When all we play is that note of our pain, it does not sound good. That may be you today. You may have come in and the only song your life is singing is one note, and it sounds like this. It sounds like poor, 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 poor. Or maybe it sounds like addicted, 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 addicted. Maybe it sounds like handicapped, handicapped. Maybe it sounds short, short, short. I didn't get to be 6 foot tall. Maybe it sounds like this, sick, sick. Sick, sickness, battling, chronic sickness. Maybe it sounds like rejected, excluded, uninvited, overlooked, inadequate, failure, incapable, unworthy, unloved, orphaned, abandoned, left behind, worthless, mistake, insignificant, unwanted. We can live in a place where our whole story is just one note. Over and over and over. Can you imagine naming your child Painful? Oh, this wasn't a fun experience in the hospital. Your name is going to be excruciating. That's what I'm going to call you. Hey, Painful. Every time he hears his name, he's just reminded that he is a problem causer. Hey, Painful. We like to think of our children as our precious, darling baby angels, bundles of joy, and Jabez's mother named him a bundle of pain. The world can often shrink to the size of our pain, where we can't see anything beyond the pain we're feeling. You know, there are something like 600 names in the beginning of 1 Chronicles. There's long genealogy lists, and there's really not much of a break from it. It's just name after name. And then God stops here in chapter 4, verse 9. In fact, if you begin at the beginning of Chronicles and you just read through, it would have a much different effect on you than the effect of me just opening to verse 9 and reading it. Because after all these names, after 600 people are named, God pauses on this one man. Why? Why does God press pause on the one with all the problems? He moves past all those unproblematic people, and he pauses right here. It doesn't say anything about Jabez's talents or skills or his good looks or his likability or his sense of humor. It just says this. It literally doesn't mention one skill. Unremarkable. Jabez is unremarkable except for two things that we find out. One thing is that he had pain. He experienced pain. The pain that has the first word on your life does not have to have the last word on your life. And I believe that's one reason why God pauses on Jabez. You may be in the room today and you may be pretending that there is no sorrow in your story and no pain in your name. Because you want to be cute. You want to have a life that's attractive, that's not problematic. So you borrow some good sounding name. You seem just to seem like something other than what you are. But God honors the prayers of those named Jabez. Jabez called on God and God heard. He came with his pain. He came in his pain. He came to God in spite of his pain. You may be here and you're feeling like Jabez, like a bowling pin of a person. Like you were created just to be knocked down over and over and over and over again. But God sees you. And God is there to pick you up every time. And God, you have God's attention. Jabez is singled out because he made himself distinct. You may have heard this phrase before, when someone knows how to get out of the people pile, right? You interact with people every day, billions of people on the planet. Some people know how to set themselves apart, how to get out of the people pile. And Jabez did something that got himself separated, standing out from the crowd. It says that Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. God loves everybody. He loves you, he loves me, he loves everybody. But he's looking for people who honor him. Chronicles 16, 2 Chronicles says, "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." 2 Corinthians 8 says, "For we are taking pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of man." If you want to be that type of person who prays and God hears and God answers, you want to be that double portion person where God seems to give extra to. Give God deeper holiness. Give God a higher standard. Even though Jabez had pain in his name, he didn't give God an excuse. He gave God honor. And do you see how God identifies Jabez in the scripture we just read in verse 9? It doesn't say, "Jabez's name was pain and he honored me." No, it says, first of all, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. God identifies him by his honor. God identifies him because he was a worshiper. Man, he just gets in there and he lets it rip in worship. He's going to fear the Lord and honor the Lord in everything he does. That's how God identifies him. And then he says, and his name was pain. He's trying to show us that the thing that stands out to him, this thing that made Jabez so distinct, wasn't just that he had pain in his life, but was that he was willing to honor God in spite of his pain. Honor God through his pain. That brings us to verse 10. Let your pain drive you to prayer, church. Let your hurts drive you to the helper. And that's what Jabez did. It says, Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me." Many translations say, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed." A double emphasis. "And enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain." Or some translations will say, "so that I may not cause pain." See, Jabez didn't want to have that kiss of death where everything he touched in his life turned to difficulty and turned to pain. He wasn't born with that Midas touch. He wasn't born just a child of blessing. He was born a child of the curse. And he wanted to not cause pain. And he said, "God, if you'll give me these four things, I know you'll set me free of my pain." And so God granted his request. Or God brought him his request, brought him the answer that he was searching for. Jabez cried out to the God of promise. He didn't cry out to Mother Earth, mystical universe, good vibe spirit, not any God. He cried out to the God of the promise, the God of Israel. What does that mean? The God who changed Jacob's name to Israel. The God who had made a promised people through Jacob, Isaac before him, Abraham before him, who was bringing about a promised people into a promised land with a promised Messiah that would come and set all things right. He cried out to the God of promise, not just any good thing out there, not just seeking anything that would make him feel better. He cried out to and this is huge, Jabez wasn't just looking for temporary relief or respite or good feeling where he was feeling pain. He was looking for something greater than that. He cried out to the God of the promise, Jehovah the Great I Am. He cries out and he says, God, I know you're rolling out a systemic restoration in this world. You are intentionally and actively bringing about this promised people in this promised land with this promised Messiah. I know you're restoring and redeeming all things to yourself. I believe Jabez had that faith. He knew that God was intentional and active, never taking a break from his promise. He's not up there with a magic eight ball saying, should I behave redemptively towards my creation today? Should I today care for the needs of my people? No, God's not wondering if today he will draw people to himself, respond to people's faith. He is always active. And Jabez says, even though I was born into a curse, born into brokenness, born into pain, God, you've made a promise. Can I be part of it? Can I be part of that promise? I want to be reborn as a child of promise. He needed blessed into another life. People can bless you into new circumstances, but Jabez wanted blessed into a new identity, into a whole new life, and people can't bless you into a new life. Only God can. So he reaches out to God. I want to pause this morning and just give you a sermon inside the sermon. You know, the promise is everything. When you understand that God is a promise-giving and promise-keeping God, and you're part of that promise, the promise changes everything. You will interact with many people who don't share your faith. And when you try to share your faith with them, there may be some hostility and rejection there. And this is what you need to understand. This is the spiritual truth of what happens when the gospel is rejected. There are folks that reject the premise of your reasoning. They don't even want to hear it. They don't even want to hear your first argument because they've already rejected the promise you're believing. They reject the premise because they've already rejected the promise. And there's something that has to happen spiritually where people interact with the promise of God so that they can receive all the premises of Christian truth and scripture. The Holy Spirit has to draw their hearts to him. So that's why when we pray for our friends, people we love, when we pray for our community to receive Christ, we don't just want them to receive some circumstantial relief. We want them to receive the promise that'll bring them through everything and give them a new life and a new identity, and it'll extend forever. So understand this. Many people will reject the premise of your reasoning because they reject the promise of your faith. There's a supernatural purpose and mission to life that exceeds the verification of the scientific method. At our beginning, we can use the scientific method and see that it points to a beginner. We can see that our design points to a designer. We can see that the laws, I was looking for an amen from my medical professionals out there. Our design points to a designer. Help me out here if you're in the scientific community. We can see that the laws of matter and motion point to a lawmaker. I was looking for an amen from my scientists right there, my engineers. We can see that, but many people will suppress this natural revelation of God's authority. They'll suppress that there's a beginning. They'll suppress that there's a designer. They'll suppress that there's a lawmaker and a lawgiver because they've rejected God's authority. They've rejected the truth of God's promise. But you know what? There are some things that you cannot deny. You can suppress it all you want, but you cannot deny the blessings that come when you live in line with the truth of God's word. You can reject our premise because you've rejected my promise, but I want you to know that there's a proof text that you can't do anything about. Once I was blind, now I see. Man, what are you gonna do with that? It's the truth. It's gone forward in my life with power. And there are many people that are so angry and so mad with a Bible that they've never read. And if they would just open the page, it's like my children who are just so convinced they don't like so many foods before they even try them. What is this? I've never had this before. I don't like this. And I never will. You've never tried it. J- Jabez understood that there was a promise that he wanted to be a part of. God's already made a promise to this creation. He's restoring a remnant. God, can I be a part of that? I know I was born into pain, but I want to be reborn into the promise. And what happens is it forms Jabez's prayer. Did you notice? He really never asks God to address where he is. Jabez doesn't say, hey, take this painful circumstance or painful situation from me. God, I'm going through this. Take this from me. Relieve my issue. But rather, Jabez goes after what God has for him. He doesn't say, hey, God, come do this for me. Meet me where I'm at. Do this, do this. He says, God, what do you have for me? Give me where you're taking me, where I'm going. Help me get there. When your world shrinks to the size of the pain that you're experiencing, you can feel like nothing else matters until my issue stops, until I get relief from it. And pain can hijack everything that God wants to do in your life. God's bigger than your pain. There's more going on. Ask God for that more. God, give me your promise. God may allow my pain, but I believe that God will also allow my blessing. He will also include me in his blessing for me. So if you give me these four things, God, then I've identified that my promise, I want to identify with my promise, the things that you're promising me, the things that you have to give me, rather than my problems. I want to be known for your promise, and then ultimately I will be saved from my pain. So the prayer of Jabez has an order to it. There are many prayer plans with outlines and elements that we include that you can pray through. There's the Lord's Prayer model. There's the Tabernacle model. This prayer is a quick prayer that you can pray every single day. It's the prayer of Jabez. I'm going to pull four things out really quick. And the first thing is pray for blessing. Oh, that you would bless me indeed, Jabez says. This church has good theology on blessing in a world that has bad theology of blessing, so I'm not going to stay here for too long. But the word Jabez uses is literally prosperity. Oh, that you would give me prosperity, God. And why? Why is it not selfish to pray for blessing and prosperity? Because if you're a missional believer, you understand a couple things that make your prayer for blessing pure. Here's the two things you understand. First of all, blessing is not self-contained. Genesis 12:2, Abraham, I will bless you and you will be a blessing. Why does God bless us? It's not just to meet my needs, it's to make me a need meter. Because God wants me to be an extension of his grace. God does not just want to meet your needs. He wants to do something powerful through you to meet others' needs. There's an exponential idea to blessing, that it won't end with you and stop with you. That's the first thing we have to understand. It's not selfish to ask for blessing and prosperity when you are a missional believer living on mission for him, not for yourself, because your request is pure because it's not about you. It's not about your comfort. It's not about just satiating the pain you have and the desires you have. It's for your desire for the kingdom of God. The second reason it's not selfish, blessing is not self-contained, but also blessing follows order. It always does. Blessing flows in God's boundaries and in God's system. When you pray, God, bless me indeed. Oh, that you would bless me indeed. You are inviting God to take the disorder in your life, speak to it, put it on the cross, and correct you, redirect you. When you're praying for blessing, you are praying against disorder. I'm going to say that again because you missed it. When you're praying for blessing, you are praying against disorder. And so oftentimes, God will respond with an area of your life that is out of order that needs corrected, so that you can get in the path of his favor. So you say, God, bless my finances. And he says, great, let's tithe. Great, let's make a budget. Great, let's have good stewardship. Great, if you're in a mess right now, if you're just seeking to get better, let's go to the Your Money Matters conference seminar that's coming up this Saturday that you can still register for. God wants to help you in your finances, but when you pray for blessing, don't expect a big check. Don't expect just a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow you stumble on. Expect for God's path of favor. You say, oh, that you would bless me indeed. God, I want to lose weight. God, I want to have personal health. And then God responds with a salad and a workout plan. And it's not what we expect. It's not what we expect. God, couldn't you just give me some Ozempic and an angel to do something here? God will bring you into the path of his favor. God will bring you into alignment with his blessing. So when you're saying, God, bless me indeed, you're also saying, God, I give you a red carpet to speak your truth to disorder in my life. Correct me. Bring me into your blessing. This is a fact in scripture. Blessing always follows order. Psalm 5:12 says, surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. I want to challenge you in the month of May. I'm giving you a few days to get ready and pray through this and receive this. You may need to marinate in this a little bit. In the month of May, I want God to bless you, so I want you to do a few things that I believe are in order with God's desire for you. So here's my one-month challenge for you in the month of May. One-month challenge. Somebody say one-month challenge. Come to church every Sunday. I looked at Baltimore County Public Schools, Baltimore City. I looked at all the college graduations. There are no major Sunday conflicts in our community locally. You can be here every Sunday in the month of May. You come to church once a month, you're blessed. Come to church twice a month. Come to church three times, you're gonna get more blessed. So come to church every Sunday in the month of May. And oh my gosh, if you come, you're gonna be here on Mother's Day. You're gonna hear on Student Sunday, you're gonna see all our graduates and hear from Pastor Jerry. You're gonna be so blessed. Come to church every Sunday. Number two, read the book of Romans. I want you to read the whole book of Romans, every chapter, every verse. Tithe. Sit down, talk to your spouse, look at your income, go through your budget, figure out what that net is, the total of all your income, and figure out what 10% is. Go online, drop it in the bucket, double tap the link, whatever you need to do, draft the text, and submit 1/10 of your income to God for the month of May and see how God responds. Make an impact on a serve team. Say, I'm already serving on a serve team. Check it off the list. Wonderful, way to go. You still need to be here May 17th. It's rally night. You're gonna hear a lot about it. It's a vision night. It's a team building night. It's a training night. It's all kinds of stuff rolled into one. It's a Friday night. Come here May 17th. If you're not on a serve team, you're gonna leave that night on a serve team. So come May 17th and pray for Trinity. I'm gonna talk about how you can do that in just a moment. Pray for Trinity every single day. That's my 1 month challenge. Some of you are like, done. Come on, I got it. Easy, easy peasy for me. Some of you are like, ooh, I'm like missing on 4 out of 5 there. Okay, we're gonna get you there. 1 month challenge. Second thing Jabez prays for. He prays for influence. He says, enlarge my territory. It is not selfish to pray for growth and increase as a missional believer. When you honor God, God wants to increase your influence. When you honor God and worship God, he is looking for ways to put more under you, to put more things in touch with you. He wants to empower you, listen, not just to take more ground for you, to take ground back from the enemy. When Jabez is saying, enlarge my territory, he's saying there's some territory that isn't submitted to God, and God, if you give it to me, it's gonna be submitted to you. It's gonna be sanctified by you. That territory is gonna have your flag on it. The enemy hates it when God's people grow in health and resources and power and wisdom. God does not intend for you to stay where you start. He wants to grow you. You need to get a vision for your growth because God wants to grow you. God is saying, oh, I wanna enlarge your territory. I wanna expand your tent. I wanna enlarge your territory. But we're not always praying it because we don't have a vision for it. So think about this. Let's think about the church. You started off as an egg hunt volunteer. Way to go. Check out the Trinity Kids team. Maybe serve once a month. Get on that nursery rotation. You finally got a place with some space. God blessed you. Great. It's time to start a growth group in your home. You started off as a sign holder. Maybe it's time to join the prayer team. You started off at the grocery giveaway. Great. It's time for a Kingdom Builders trip. It's time for Love Week this June and to take your next step. God doesn't intend for you to stay where you start. Godly ambition is expansive. It has an exponential mindset. This year It says this: this year, we're gonna mobilize and we're gonna go to the next level. In our home, in our business, in our family, in our church, we're going to the next level. We're gonna get uncomfortable and expand. You can't separate those two. They go together. We're gonna get a little bit uncomfortable so that we can expand and grow. We're gonna take care of people better. We're gonna extend our service to new clients. We're gonna grow our network and double in size. Get a vision for it. We're gonna kill this debt this year. We're gonna tie the knot this year. We're gonna go back to school. We're gonna start the business. We're gonna become foster parents. We're gonna enlarge our territory, because that's what God wants to do in our lives. And we're not cutthroat competitors around here, but we want more. Why? Because God has a city to win and a church to build, and he's called us to be a part of it. We're part of the promise. 2 Corinthians 9, it says, you're enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through your generosity, it will result in thanksgiving to God. Now, Anthony, I'm uncomfortable with change. I don't want to park somewhere new, sit somewhere new, come to service at a different time. Why do I have to come out on a Friday night for rally night? Why do I have to join a serve team? Why do we want to, can I go there? Can I say some things? Why do we want to launch more worship experiences than one on a Sunday morning? Why do we want to open new campuses? Why do we want to extend the mission of God through Trinity in Baltimore? Can I tell you why? Because it's tired. We are tired. We are sick and tired of the enemy running Baltimore and having hold on millions of people's hearts in this area. Okay. In a lot of those thoughts I just said are brand new thoughts to you. You don't think that way, you've never thought that way, because you're focused over here on your pain. You haven't prayed the prayer of Jabez yet. You're living the Jabez life, but you haven't prayed his prayer yet. God has purpose and promise for you, but I'm in pain. That might be part of it. God may allow that, but he has more that he wants to do beyond your pain. Okay. When we make it about me, we miss out on the mission. Make it about me, miss out on the mission. And if you grew up surrounded by lack, you can really struggle to dream. I get that. In fact, you know, in Hebrew, the word for health and the word for dream are so close together that sometimes translators don't even know exactly which one is the intended use. Because sometimes when we grow up unhealthy, we're just trying to survive. We're not dreaming. And those things are really closely tied together. God wants to bring you into a place of stability, a place of health, to help you dream, to help you think about what's next. Think about leaving a legacy and making an impact. Here's three ways that you can pray for Trinity. Remember I said that 1 month challenge for May? Pray for our church. Here's three ways you can pray. Pray for provision. Pray for courage to honor God with your money, and pray that the person next to you would have courage to honor God with their money. That's an easier prayer to pray, right? That person next to me, God. We're looking not just for dollars and cents that really propel the mission forward. We're looking for miracle manna. God, would you bring to Trinity resources beyond us, resources beyond ourselves to accomplish a vision that's beyond us? So pray with me for miracle provision. Pray for people. Provision and people. There are more people coming. Every week we're meeting new people through many expressions of Trinity, many different ministries. We're meeting people that have never been here before, people in our community that have never been in a church before. Yesterday was a prime example of that in hosting this funeral. We need more people serving and preparing for the people who are coming to encounter and experience the power of God. And so we're doing rally night, we're recruiting right now, and I'm talking about you. Pray for people. Pray that God would give us laborers for the field. Thirdly, pray for prominence. We're asking God to use our church to be disruptive in our community. For people who never think about God, never think about God's plan and purpose, that something through Trinity, through our social media, through our Beltway sign, through people that come here and go out as word of mouth, giving their witness, that people would hear noise. Noise. You ever hear just a noise that you can't ignore and can't, it just gets to you? We want to create noise abroad, that people all over our region would get disrupted out of stagnancy, out of unbelief, through the bold, clear, bright witness of his glory on the move in our reflection. Third thing Jabez prays for, he prays for presence. He says, let your hand be with me. This is a prayer against self-reliance. You've taken me to a place outside my ability, God. I need your presence to sustain me. Let your presence be with me, because what you've called me to is too big for me. We need God's presence in our lives. Parents, you need God's presence for your kids. You need his hand upon them, amen? You need God's hand on your marriage, on your relationship. Don't try to just be Mr. Smooth and Miss Beautiful and so clever on your own that you can create the world's best love story. You need God's hand on your relationship. You need the presence of God that would set you right in relationship. I think a great way to pray the prayer of Jabez is to say, yes, God, bless me. Yes, God, expand my territory. But God, I don't want any expansion if it excludes you. I don't want to grow if you're not in it. I just don't need the blessings, God. I want the blesser. I want you with me. If the expansion pushes God to the side, then I don't want it, because I'll get blessed right out of my joy. And I don't want to be blessed out of my joy. I remember when Candace and I got married, we had a kitchen table from a guy in the church and a couch from a guy in the church and a TV that had no audio, just video. That was pointless. It was a weird way to watch TV from a guy in the church. And we had a microwave from a lady in the church, but we had hearts full of the Holy Spirit. And I remember the joy in our home and just saying, God, wherever you lead us, wherever you take us, I never want to lose what we have right now. Because even in not having much, we have more than enough. And I don't ever want to lose that. And that's the kind of prayers we need to pray. Lord, don't expand me in a way that excludes you. So let me encourage you today, if this hasn't been part of your prayer, God, I need your presence, I need your presence, I need your presence. If that hasn't been part of your prayer, understand this. Striving to be good enough will never satisfy you. It'll never get you to that point where, like, this was my vision, it's all good. We don't need to be good enough, we need to be dependent enough. So when you pray, you're saying, God, I don't just want to be good enough. I want to be dependent on you enough to see what you want to do come to pass. God's word to Zerubbabel when he rebuilt the temple was not by might. Well, it's going to take a lot of might. There's going to be a lot of sweat and a lot of, you know, people are going to be ripped after this temple's built. I'll tell you that. And it's not by power, but it's by my spirit. And that's the attitude we're taking to our lives and the prayer we're giving God. And you know what? When we're living that way and praying that way, things don't have to be perfect. When we're living like it's all dependent on God, we want to give God our best. We want to be excellent. But when things aren't perfect, it doesn't matter, because it's not by might and not by power. And so the pastor can have a Sunday where he preaches a meatball of a sermon, which happens from time to time. And in the worship team, their strings can break and their drumsticks can break and their strings snap in half and we could run out of diapers in the nursery, and maybe there's coffee grounds in my coffee today or whatever the case may be, and people can still be saved and set free and delivered and their lives transformed and their lives changed. And that's the church that we want to be a part of. Amen. God did not give Jabez these things before he prayed for them. He gave them these requests after he prayed for them. Why? Why? Oh God, you know everything I'm gonna pray before I pray it. You know what I want, God, before I even ask it. So what's the point? God, I got a lot going on this morning, and I know my prayer closet's right there, and I know I can kneel at the side of my bed right there, but you understand. Because prayer isn't so much about the requests as it is about the relationship. And Jabez was committed to the relationship with God. And he went to him every day. He went to him every day. He prayed his prayer and God responded to his request. God's looking for your heart. I want to do life with God, not just for God. And I believe that God honors that desire. So pray it. Well, I want to be blessed. Sure. Pray it. Pray it. This prayer is one verse in the Bible. Pray it. The fourth thing he prays for is he prays for protection. He says, keep me from evil, keep me from harm. God, give me a blessing so that I have more than enough, and give me influence to take back territory from the enemy, and give me your presence. But when God does those things and he gives you his presence, it is going to lead you into confrontation with the enemy. It is going to lead you into a position where Satan is going to bump heads with you. And that's good, because if you're never bumping heads with Satan, then you might be going the same direction as him. And so, God, give me your presence, give me your influence, give me your blessing, but that is going to lead me into a place where, God, I need your protection. Don't let me mess this up, God. Temptation's going to come. God, keep me obedient, keep me submitted, keep me prayerful, keep me dependent. And when you pray that way, God hears that humble, humble prayer. Don't let me mess this up. God, keep me from evil. Keep me from evil. This is a prayer for wisdom and transformation. Can I say this? This is a prayer for protection. This is a prayer against your weakness. So we're already praying against self-reliance. We're praying against disorder in our lives. This is a prayer against our own weakness. God, I'm weak, but let your spirit be willing in me. Let your spirit be willing in me. And then the result, after he asked God for these four things, he asked God for blessing, influence, presence, and protection. Blessing, influence, presence, and protection. He says, God, give me these things so that I will be saved from pain, so that I will be set free from pain. I just want to talk about this for just a second. Jabez's name meant pain. The prayer of Jabez is summed up in this statement at the end. God, set me free from pain. He's saying, God, save me from myself. God, this curse that I was born into, that I was branded with, that I'm called every day of my life, set me free from that curse and let me not be known by my problems. Let me be known by the promise. Let me be known by my blessings. If you're in the room and you would say that today, I want to be free from the old me. I want to be free from that curse. There's a lot of pain relief for our circumstances, but there's only one pain reliever of our souls. Our pain was ultimately fulfilled when Jesus took it up and went to the cross. Isaiah 53 is a prophecy about what Jesus would do for us. And I believe that when Jesus went to the cross, Jabez was on his mind. It says this: he was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hid their faces, he was despised. We held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. Church, you're not punished by God. Your affliction, it is not because God does not love you. In fact, when you look at the cross and you see that senseless, brutal suffering that Jesus endured, you can look at that and say, wow, you do love me. You went to the cross because you do love me to fulfill my pain and bring about my blessing. Jabez's prayer was completed on Easter when he ultimately was saved from his spiritual pain, and his pain was fulfilled. Revelation 21 tells us that we're headed to a place where there's no more death, mourning or crying or pain. The old order of things will have passed away. Jabez experienced transformation in his life. He wasn't just known for his pain and his problems, known for his blessing. He went from, hello, my name is painful, to hello, my name is pain fulfilled. Because even in his pain, he asked God to accomplish what God wanted to do, and he experienced blessing. I know you've got pain. I know you've got sorrows. My question to you is, will that pain be for nothing? Will that pain be wasted? Or will you allow God to fulfill that pain and do something even beyond it? Advance his kingdom. Jabez became known for his gains, not just his pain. And he is calling us to something today. I'm looking for two types of people this morning. One, somebody that wants to be known by the promise and not by the problems, wants to be reborn as a child of God, a full heir, recipient of all his blessings. And secondly, someone who doesn't want their pain to be wasted anymore, doesn't want their pain just to fuel their pity party, but wants their pain to fuel their worship. Remember, when Jabez honored God in his pain, it got him out of the people pile, it set him apart as distinct, and it invited God's blessing into his life. Would you stand with me? There's a promise for you that is pain-free. It's an eternal Sabbath for the people of God, eternal rest. I cannot wait for that day. I know every day until that day, my calling involves pain, and your calling will be filled with pain. But as you faithfully serve God, as you fellowship in the sufferings of Jesus Christ, your pain is earning for you a portion. That means there is a peace that God has for you, a peace of blessing, a peace of wholeness and restoration. So I want to invite you today. Maybe you're praying that prayer, I need pain relief. Not saying that's a bad prayer or a wrong prayer, but that can't be the end of your prayers, because there's more that God wants to do. Even in my pain, God, I'm going to honor you. Even in my pain, God, I'm going to ask you for your blessing and your influence and your presence and your protection. Because I don't just want to have a life that's painful, which I know that'll be part of it, but I want to have a life where pain is fulfilled and brings about the things that you desire. Let me pray for you today. Dear Jesus, there's someone under the sound of my voice today, God, that needs to take a step into glory, that needs heaven to begin in their heart right now. And I pray, Jesus, that you would meet them. Maybe they haven't ever seen you eye to eye before, God, because there's been this big problem and issue and difficulty and pain as an obstacle standing in the way. Well, today, God, let them see over that and beyond that, and let them see that you have a promise for them that will bring them into fullness of joy and glory, wholeness with you forever. Lord, I pray that you would fulfill their lives, God, just like you bore their pain, just like you took it up on the cross. Free them right now, Jesus, spiritually from that curse of sin. Help them choose you and live for you every day. Jesus, I pray for somebody who, God, their pain has not bared fruit in their lives, Lord. But today they are submitting that pain to you and saying, God, if you allow this, okay. But Lord, I know that you're also gonna allow blessings in my life and influence. You're gonna allow your presence to meet me. You're gonna allow your protection to surround me. And someday I will be totally pain-free. Lord, let their pain become part of their worship today, God. Let their pain be submitted and sanctified, God, as they honor you in it. Thank you, Jesus. We give you our worship this morning as we sing together. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.